Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man dressed in a cat costume was arrested after stabbing his roommate in the neck. Actual thing. Police were called to a home in Gainesville last week after a man called 911 to report he had been stabbed in the neck. In a video that was on Facebook, Captain Chris Sims said that two deputies forced their way inside of a home where the stabbing victim lay on the floor, bleeding. The suspect was still inside that residence and potentially armed. The body cam footage, according to Tampa Free Press, says that shows officers at the doorway talking to the victim, instructing him to walk out of the house. And then they called out the suspect, identified as Omar Gutierrez, to come out with his hands in the air. So Gutierrez comes out, his arms raised, and he's wearing a gray and white cat onesie. It's a cat costume. I've seen other reports say it was pajamas. That ain't pajamas. He's legit in like a cat costume. The 32-year-old was charged with one count of attempted murder. He's held on $1 million bond. That's something else. Seaweed, massive amounts of it washing ashore in Florida. It contains flesh-eating bacteria that can cause leaky gut syndrome. It's called sargassum. The seaweed blankets the beaches with thick brown algae, emitting a strong odor as it decomposes. I've read this happening before in certain parts, and it happens, you know, on a lot of shorelines. But they say the pathogens, blah, 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 microplastics, warm ocean water, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, just be careful and don't play in it. Don't be eating it. Don't be rolling around in it. But the leaky gut thing is kind of terrifying. It's like they say that the worst part of it, the red algae, has been on Florida's southwest coast. And so it's like near Naples and like it's like basically south of St. Petersburg, Florida, is where it looks like that's the most where it happens. But they say that you can have like some coughing, some wheezing, things like that for asthmatics. It can, you know, you can have some respiratory issues. But yeah, don't be playing in it. They do a lot to try to, you know, get rid of it. Something that it's a normal thing that happens annually, but the leaky gut thing, it's like, I don't like the name of it. That sounds like a bad metal band name. I mean, if I'm being honest, let's see. I've got a couple. How much time do I have? Do I have time for two stories or one? Okay, let's end with this. This is a ghost story I was telling you about. Florida man claims he broke into a house to hide from a ghost. Florida man Andrew George is in jail. He broke into a home because he said a ghost was chasing him. Daytona Beach police say George was booked last week for two counts of burglary. According to his arrest report, they were called to this Daytona Beach historic home for a shooting, but it was a burglary. When they arrived, they found a man identified as George laying on his back on the front steps, covered in blood, crying. After they spoke with him, they said that the people there heard someone try to break in. They engaged, etc. But he said that he ran to the house because the ghosts were chasing him. And he had been fighting the ghosts in the street. Well, apparently, he also admitted to taking Molly, a.k.a. ecstasy. And that's probably what happened. I'm just going to say, you know there's Ring doorbell footage somewhere of him fighting with himself in the street. The KS7 from Kel-Tec might be short and slim on the outside, but it's long under the hood with its 18.5-inch barrel packed into its bullpup design. It's ready for home defense, backcountry hiking, or anywhere you need a compact 12-gauge shotgun. The KS7 is lightweight with a magazine capacity of 6+1 or 7+1, depending on shell size, easy to handle with rear loading and downward ejection, and standard carry handle that doubles as a sighting solution. Every KS7 produced at Kel-Tec is made in the USA by a team who takes pride in their work and believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms. Every KS7 comes with a lifetime warranty with proof of purchase as original owner. Defend what matters most to you with the KS7 shotgun available through Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, and sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com. So I was reading about this yesterday. Chick-fil-A, remember the reverse, the boycott of Chick-fil-A when everyone wanted to go to Chick-fil-A because it was the, what do they call the protest? This was back in 2012. You had the Alphabet community that wanted to boycott Chick-fil-A because they found out that Dan Cathy, the guy who owned it, was Christian. And they were, I guess they thought that you was going to get baptized with a sweet tea. I don't know. I just, you know, who knows what people thought. This Jesus chicken. But anyway, everybody went to Chick-fil-A, right? Everybody loved going to Chick-fil-A. Well, now it comes out that they hired a vice president of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and that this went out, and they've had they have a DEI page. Now, the guys, they hired him back in 2020, but apparently it just now spread. News just now spread. They originally released a statement, Chick-fil-A did, back in 2021 to speak about their company mission with DEI and all of this stuff. And the statement that they had was, quote, "We are better together. One of our core values at Chick-fil-A means when we combine our unique backgrounds and experiences with a culture of belonging, we can strengthen the quality of care we deliver. Chick-fil-A Inc.'s commitment to being better at together means embedding diversity, equity, and inclusion in everything we do." Okay, I have a problem with that. That's not a good thing, because it's equity is not what equality is. And as I've explained before, this is a very Marxist principle. It's critical theory. And at the heart of equity is discrimination, because you have to have discrimination for equity. Equality is against that. So I think it's disappointing to see this, and I don't know why. Yeah, just be about quality. I mean, I have these, you know, Kane notes. I have these questions too. Why can't you just be like, we serve everybody as we always have with quality? The end. All this DEI stuff is branding of the sheep herd. That's what it is. DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. I mean, I don't know why we keep having to affirm the same stuff over and over again. But then I was thinking about this too, because I mean, this is Chick-fil-A. I mean, this is the entity that conservatives protested for. And so that statement that I just read to you, that came out in 2021, a lot of people, I guess, really hadn't known that they have this, you know, Marxist DEI statement, and they were doing all of this stuff. And then it came out. Do you remember? And I remember seeing this right when it first came out, and I thought it was performative. I think that some people genuinely have a heart and they want to make this demonstration of treating everyone equally, but sometimes it looks pandering and contrived. And it's this video where is this at? It's a flashback. This flashback video where, which Kathy was it? Who is the Chick-fil-A CEO? He sent out shoe shine packages to store managers to remind them about, you know, contrition and humility, and, you know, to atone for historical participation in slavery. And he was giving this speech, and he got up and was like, started washing the shoes of this other dude on stage. And the other dude on stage did not look humbled. He looked like, wow, this is really, it seemed performative. Listen to this audio soundbite 9 flashback.
I invite folks to put some words to action here. And if we need to find somebody that needs to have their shoe shine, we need to just go right on over and shine their shoes. And whether they got tennis shoes on or not, maybe they got sandals on.
This is performative.
It really doesn't matter. But there's a time in which we need to have, you know, some personal action here. Maybe we need to give them a hug too, brother.
And some stock in Chick-fil-A.
I bought about 1,500 of these.
This kind of goes along with the line. I had a conversation with Max Lucado once, and he was roommates with the pastor at our church. And I always believe in, you know, talking to people privately and going about it, you know, the New Testament way. But I had been, and I wrote a piece about it at the time. I was upset because Lucado was getting into some of this DEI stuff when he was making remarks during lockdown in his sermons. And it made me angry. And so I called him up, and, you know, we spoke for a bit, and I said, you know, I realize, you know, we come from different generations and we grew up in very different parts of the country. And I explained to him, you have to realize that I don't know what kind of life you've lived or what you've experienced or what other people have experienced because of your actions, but this is you know, what you're talking about, what people have to atone for, this is kind of a foreign concept to a lot of people in my generation who never, we didn't pay attention to that because it didn't exist for us. We didn't know differences. We didn't know any of that. It wasn't pushed up on us, and it definitely wasn't weaponized politically and pushed upon us as it is now. And I told him, I said, when you're asking people to assume culpability in something that they had no part in, it creates resentment. And is that not creating a hurdle for other people? And we had a very in-depth conversation, and I get the same feeling watching this stuff. And so I see this, you know, Chick-fil-A made this higher. I do think that this is different than, you know, Bud Light or Target or Kohl's, because they're not, you know, obviously not doing the same thing that they're doing. They're not advertising for the love of all things holy here, you know, tux swimsuits, good heavens. But it is DEI. And DEI is based in Marxist critical theory. I've written about this for over 10 years. That is a theory based on hatred and division. It is antithetical to Christian teaching. DEI is antithetical to Christianity, period, because it teaches you that there are, I mean, it's like the Klan wrote it. It demands that you acknowledge these differences and you live your life accordingly, and that certain people must be given certain things. You have to employ discrimination in order to have equal outcomes. Instead of having a level playing field, everybody gets an opportunity, you might have different outcomes. Different outcomes are not allowed with equity. That's the difference between equity and equality. And it's anti-biblical nonsense. And it kind of shocks me that a company that is so proud about its faith would incorporate something like this as part of their mission statement. And I do think that Chick-fil-A and their CEOs and the Cathy family should absolutely address that. If you're people of faith, I think you should. And I think you have an obligation to, especially since you've made such a public show of it. And I don't think that is in any way a ridiculous demand. Now, to that point, if I was a strategist for Marxist theory, I would want to make my opponents turn on each other. I would want, you know, Chick-fil-A, for instance, is sort of a avatar brand, if you will, of conservatism, is it not? I mean, isn't that why you had, who is it, Rahm Emanuel, who didn't want a Chick-fil-A in Chicago, saying that their values aren't Chicago values? And I'm like, I guess it's not about gangs and drugs and shooting. I don't know. And you had leaders in New York City say the same thing. In Austin, didn't they try to drive Chick-fil-A out of an airport in Austin? I mean, it's Jesus chicken. That's how they look at it. If I were a strategist for Marxist critical theory, for wokery, I would want conservatives to turn on the brands that they identify as being part of them and other people identify as being part of them. I would want to foster a sense of betrayal, knives out, and I would want them to go at each other's throats. Now, I don't know why Chick-fil-A felt the need to do this. I know that they are a privately owned company, but I do know that their banks and suppliers and everything else, they may not be. And ESG is a very real thing, environmental social governance standard. So even if they are a privately owned company, that still plays into this. And I think that if you make conservatives turn on an avatar of their business, then I think that really exceeds the expectations of the Marxists that I think have created this environment to where, in which, you know, Chick-fil-A feels the need to release a statement like this. So I think that we need to be very careful in how we deal with this. This is not the same. I don't think that this is the same thing as, you know, Bud Light. I don't think it's the same thing as Target. I think it's one thing to sell children's clothes with images that affirm adult sexual practices. And I think it's another thing to have a statement like this. Now, I'm not saying I support this at all. Like, I just told you I thought it was unchristian. I don't know how harsh I can be more harsh in my criticism of it. But I do think that it's entirely different. And I think that we need to take that into account in how we deal with this. And I think that we owe each other the opportunity here to make that explanation. Just as we level our criticism, I think that they also owe us, because we have stuck up for them so much, an explanation as to why they feel this is the best move forward and how they think that Marxist DEI fits in with Christian principles.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Utah's Republican Congressman Chris Stewart plans to resign. He's expected to announce his departure soon, according to the Salt Lake Tribune. He's apparently leaving because his wife has ongoing health issues. They didn't elaborate as to what those issues may be, but it will require a special election. So you could have House Republicans be short the numbers, obviously, that they have right now. So they're going to take a already slim majority and make it a little smaller. So that's going to be, we'll have a special election for that. Also, moving on here, this is why, oh my gosh, I told you yesterday why, but there was another, like, what, people were sick on a cruise ship, then there was another cruise ship that was destroyed by floods while sailing in a storm. Not a fan of doing the cruises. And then the U.S. government, this headline, is going to appear in court over the Ginger Spare Prince Harry's visa application after his drug revelations in the memoir. He, like, wrote in his memoir, as he's trying to come to the United States, that he was doing drugs, which is a big no-no, because you can be denied entry. And so now the government has to appear in federal court next Tuesday to answer questions about his visa application. The Heritage Foundation is suing the Biden administration to force officials to release the Duke of Sussex's immigration files. They want to know how he got in the U.S., despite the fact that he was bragging all over through his memoir about doing drugs. Just, I don't know. The billionaire Sackler family that owns Purdue Pharma are given immunity from civil lawsuits from opioid victims in exchange for $6 billion to fund and treat addiction. This is an interesting story. They're paying billions in exchange for blanket immunity, is what it is, in Purdue Pharma's role in the opioid crisis. It is the U.S. Court of Appeals. They approved the settlement, Second Circuit, that would result in the family paying about $5.5 to $6 billion as part of this deal to get the broad protection. And it would end bankruptcy proceedings that began in 2019. And then the settlement money will go towards addressing the worsening opioid crisis. So they're buying their way out of it, is what they're doing. Wow. Wow. Can you imagine if you were, they're specialer, I guess. Al Pacino is going to be a dad at age 83. Daily Mail says he's joining the old dad club. I think that's, can I be honest? I think it's cruel. 83 years old. His girlfriend's 28. She's 8 months pregnant. He's 83. He's not going to see this kid grow into adulthood. I mean, statistically, it's kind of cruel. Is it not cruel? I don't know. Anyway, I guess they're happy about it, but it's weird. I just got to say, it's kind of weird, Kane. It's just odd. Just saying. I don't know. And then the New Yorker has a piece, which we're going to talk about later. The headline, The Rise of Latino White Supremacy. They say that Latinos are potential perpetrators of white supremacy. I guess because they're white adjacent. I don't know. They're white adjacent. That's what the media has been trying to push for the longest time.
First off, let me play.
Coming up, Congressman Chip Roy from the state of Texas joins us on that debt ceiling bill. Don't miss. So you know that, or maybe you don't. And I wish that I was lying, because I don't want this to be true. Trump was saying that Cuomo did a great job with New York, and that other states, I'm not making this up, this is like literally verbatim what he has been saying with lockdown. He's been on his Twitter platform saying this with COVID, etc., saying that that Cuomo did better than DeSantis. And I get that it's already a bitter primary. Oh my gosh, do we have to do that though? For real. So there's more. Hold up. He said that he said it on video a couple of times. He said it in a tweet, and he hit it again yesterday, that Florida had, they had high number of deaths, and they shut down. Then he got mad. He was saying that they had the third most deaths of any state. Even Cuomo did better. And then I know.
What?
Don't tell Janice Dean. And he keeps saying things like this, like, oh, well, New York did better, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know why he didn't stay there and why he relocated entirely to Florida if it did better. Now, look, I know that, you know, he's got a different way of doing campaigning, but oh my gosh, I don't want to see any Republican celebrating Cuomo. Stop it. I want one of his handlers to grab his phone and sit on it. I don't know. Don't do this, because this is what happens. So now you've got Cuomo, who is basically like giving an endorsement of this. And he was saying, well, it's great that he tweeted this out. I retweeted it. Let me pull up my tweet. I have like a million things open right now. Bear with me. He tweeted this. He retweeted something from, I guess it was the Trump War Room on Twitter. Oh my gosh. And then he was saying that that he was happy that the truth is coming out. He says, this is what Cuomo tweeted. Quote, Donald Trump tells the truth finally. New York got hit first and worst, but New Yorkers acted responsibly. Florida's policy of denial allowed COVID to spread, and that's why they had a very large second wave. And then, I'm not kidding, it's what he, and then you have the Trump War Room tweeting, they're tweeting each other now. And then, so this is what the Trump War Room, this was like earlier this morning. They tweeted Cuomo praising Trump, and, well, listen, this is what they tweeted. An actual flashback, this is 23.
Always had a very good dialogue. But the president and I agreed yesterday, look, we're fighting the same war, and this is a war, and we're in the same trench, and I have your back, you have my back, and we're going to do everything we can for the people of the state of New York.
Oh, please.
And the president agreed to that.
I can't even. He tweeted this out because Cuomo was praising Trump, and so the Trump War Room, which is their official, like, rapid response thing on Twitter, retweeted it and was like praising it. Okay, there are so many other ways to go after a primary than this. And I don't even know if I have words. Why are we doing this? And I just retweeted. I just said, please stop. Please do not do this. Please do not sit here and celebrate. Why is this camp promoting Death Cuomo now? Why? It's killing me. Stop.
Who is this Trump?
Yeah, I mean, defending the guy whose policy killed grandparents to try to scorn a primary challenger, I think that's peak primary. And we're not even a week in. Stop. It's like watching your parents fight. Sad. That really hit with Gen X. Gen X was like, just now. Golly. So that doesn't look good. And I don't know how or why, who's telling him to do this. I'm not quite sure. That's bad. Because New York handled it so irresponsibly. So promoting Death Cuomo is not the best way to do it. Going after your previous press secretary for simply citing a poll isn't the way to do it either. Now, what gets me about this is back in 2015, McEnany, his press secretary at the time, was like calling him a racist, literally calling him a racist verbatim on CNN when she worked at CNN. And I remember I was one of the people that got really mad about that, because I just thought that was beyond to sit here and say that he was a racist. That was in 2015. You know, for all the people that have gotten mad at me for my calling balls and strikes, I've never done that. And nor have a lot of other people. So I jokingly said, wow, wait until he finds out what she was calling him in 2015. Because she was like, yes, he says racist things. He's racist. I mean, it's the video and transcripts are all out there. But a lot of people change their tune pretty quick, I think. And the problem that he is creating for himself is you have people who turned their, I mean, completely did a 180. Because, you know, the opportunity to work with an administration, you know, that's attractive to a lot of people. They go and they work with the administration. They do the dirty work of the administration. And then as a reward for that, you blast them because they cite a poll. Really? Like, I think if you're going to go after somebody for what they were saying in 20, but all citing a poll, That's not reason to do that. I'm so tired of this this meandering, ever-changing bastardization of what loyalty is. Loyalty is not a one-way street. It's not. And there's no such thing as loyalty when it comes to politicians. And this is the only time it's really a one-way street, unless it's a politician talking about loyalty to the people and the authority of their consent that they have given them by way of their vote. That's the only loyalty that matters in politics. I'm so tired of having this like, oh, let's, you know, you got to, instead of having a candidate who fights for you, you're supposed to fight for the candidate. That's not how this works. This is not the agreement. But I just thought that was bad. You're not going to get people, good people to work for you if they're worried about you blasting them, if they merely cite a poll. There was nothing wrong with that. So I don't know. I think that it's just not, this is not a good look for him. And I really wish that he had some better people around him advising him. And now you got Mike Pence who wants to launch his campaign. Sit down. Nobody wants you to run. Nobody wants you to run. Like Chris Christie is, you know, like farting out rumors from New Jersey that he's thinking about running for the... Nobody wants that. Like literally, this is America. No one. Chris Christie, I may run for the White House. Mike Pence may be a very nice gentleman. He's been on the program before. I know Indiana loves him. He was a talk radio host in Indiana. Dude, your time has passed. It's done. You peaked at VP. It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. It's just not a thing. And I think a lot of people get in there to raise their profile. They want book deals or they're stalking horses, you know, something to that effect. Or they're auditioning for a job and maybe a potential administration. So that's why they act very preferential to one candidate over another. But no, nobody wants him in there. Nobody wants him in there. So I wish that 45 would campaign more on what he's done. Like do what your accomplishments. That's what you need to be focusing on. So yeah, Trump can't make your point, King, because I thought this was a good point.
Well, I don't know why he went from COVID as a hoax. If you remember in the beginning, this was 2020, 2021. To now just praising Democrats.
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
Well, I'll let DeSantis have a word here. This is what he said in Iowa, audio soundbite 20. This was yesterday at one of the stops that he made in Iowa. Listen to this.
Thank you so much. So you talked about changing your tone a little bit with former President Trump. I don't believe you mentioned him here by name tonight, but does this mean you're going to be a bit more aggressive with campaigning against him?
So look, I'm going to respond to... attacks. I mean, if you say Cuomo did a better job with COVID than Florida did, first of all, that's not what he used to say. This is like new. Like 6 months ago, he would have never said that, right? He used to say how great Florida was. Hell, his whole family moved to Florida under my governorship. Are you kidding me? So some of this stuff, I think, is, look, if someone is saying that, I am gonna counterpunch, I'm going to fight back on it, I'm going to focus my fire on Biden, and I think he should do the same. He gives Biden a free pass. I'm focusing on Biden.
I blame this on a lot of the people that he has surrounding him with Trump. Bad, bad, bad advising going on here. So, there's some of that. Kane, just go ahead and say it, Kane. Don't sit here and put it in Slack.
I'm trying to be, you know, courteous. It's his own ego.
This is politics. There's no courtesy in baseball or politics.
His ego seems to be oversizing everything else, and that's a bad look.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.